Before we get into the episode, I just want to say thank you to everyone out there that has contributed so far to the FitCast Patreon at patreon.com/thefitcast. Right now, we're at about 40% of the episode goal, and if you enjoy the show and you want to help support it, jump on there at patreon.com/thefitcast, and you can help contribute and support the show to make sure it keeps going, starting at just $1 an episode. So if you do think the show is worth supporting, please jump on there, and it's also possible to go to thefitcast.com where you can support the show via a single PayPal donation as well. So thank you to everyone out there, and let's jump into the show. Well, welcome back to the FitCast. This is episode number 305. I am Kevin Larrabee, and if you listened to last episode, we kind of ran out of time, so we're able to reconnect later in the week. So Roger of RogLawFitness.com. I was like still like getting confused about like what. Anyways, and of course at RogLaw on Twitter, and well, Roger Lawson, welcome back to the show, man.
Thanks, man. It's funny, people don't know what to call it. Like, there's so many different variations. Like, some people call me Roger Law or Raj Lawson, or they go the full name, which makes me sound like, because I'm the second, so it's like Roger Lawson the second. I sound like a English lawyer, and then I'm just like, just let's just cut it in half. And I got the idea from Tekken, because there was martial law, and that just sounded so damn cool. I was like, you know, yeah, what, let's do it, just why not, let's see where this goes. And it just stuck.
Speaking of Tekken, we played a little bit of that when we were out in Japan. I think it was Tekken Tag, and you like made it all the way through the game in the arcade. You just kept playing for like an hour.
Dude, Eddie Gordo, you just smashed the buttons.
totally. So for people that, I will say, if you didn't listen to the last episode, just stop right now, listen to the previous episode, because we're going to be riffing off a lot of the stuff that was mentioned on there, where Roger talked a lot about his history, how he got into this, super fascinating stuff and really inspiring. If you haven't checked it out already, like I said, go back, and you can also hear about his 7 months in Thailand and what that really did to his outlook on life, and how to really address, you know, how to attack these problems and, you know, help people out with their goals in life when it comes to fitness and nutrition and stuff like that. So let's just get right into it, because judging by like the questions that we got before, one thing that people really wanted you to talk about was, you know, what do you do when it comes to goal setting and helping people out when they like want to just literally, like, you have it on your site, sexification.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Like, if we're just trying to look good naked, if that's like what people want, you know, what are the first steps that you take when it comes to helping people reach their goals when it comes to like fitness and nutrition?
So really, like, the most important thing for me, you know, starting off, is just getting a sense of, you know, where they're coming from and what they think they want. Like, I know when I first started off, I wanted to just be ripped and this, like, abs all day, and I realized later on, I'm like, that really isn't what I want. I was after more of a feeling. I wanted to feel capable and strong, and I wanted a body that reflected that. And in my mind, like, being super lean, that's how that goal was reflected to me. So it really does start with just chatting and kind of finding out their motivations for what they want. Because I found from, like, working with hundreds of clients is that if, you know, the why is really important. And if you don't have a strong enough why to pursue something, there's so many distractions and different things out there that you can get off track so easy if you don't have something to keep pulling. It's like those kids on a leash with their parents are walking in public. They have those backpack leashes on, the parents pulling them back when they're trying to walk. If they didn't have those leashes, it's just like boop, and they're way out there. They run all over the place. So you need something to pull you back when things get hard. So I like to really delve deep into that initially, because that helps me as a coach better serve them. Because there's no, you know, the training, you know, physiologically, there's certain ways that people respond over time, and I have a better sense of that from working with a lot of clients. But mentally is where I feel like I can connect best with the client and get them to buy into what they're doing, so that they feel confident that the program that they have is the best. And, you know, there's no best program. It's just a program that gets you from where you are to where you want to be. But if they feel like this program is the shit, I am excited about it. They're more likely to work hard, and the harder they work, the better the results will be. So I think locking in mentally is really key for me, definitely. And in terms of, like, was it or like setting the actual goal?
Yeah, totally.
Yeah. So one thing that I found shifts over time is sometimes people want one, they start off wanting one thing, but then it turns out to be something completely different that they really want. So like I was saying, like initially I was chasing like being ripped, but it was more of a feeling that I wanted. So being able to talk with someone realistically and like, okay, here's where you're at now. Here's the time frame that you're talking, like you want to talk about 8 or 16 weeks. I'm usually up, like if I don't think they can get there in that time frame, I'm like, what you're looking to do in this time frame, I don't think it's possible. And if it is possible, you're going to have to work really hard for X amount of time. If you are committed to doing that, I'm excited to help you. If not, let's reframe your goals or give you more realistic goals, because I know in the past I've set myself up for failure. And like, I'm like, I'm dieting for 8 weeks and I'm going to lose 15 to 20 pounds. And I'm already 195 pounds. I'm like at 6 feet. I'm like, what am I? And then when that doesn't happen, I feel like crap because I set this goal and I let myself down. And I found that creates a loop. So if you set the goal, you fail at reaching the goal in whatever parameters you defined it as, then the next time you try that goal, it's like you believe in yourself a bit less. And the more that cycle continues, it just wears you out. It's like getting punched in the face. You're like, oh, okay, I thought I had it that time. Guess not. And then you go into it the next time even less confident than you were before. So I think starting off with realistic goals, as unsexy as it is, that it sets the stage for everything that's going to come after. Like I found that, you know, people think it's a race, like to get lean. It's like, it's not. You're like, you don't have to get ripped in 8 weeks. You know, you got unripped in over a lifetime. Don't expect to, like, you can make a lot of progress in 8 weeks, but don't think that in 8 weeks you're going to be where you're at and you're going to be happy for the rest of your life and this is the end of it. It's like, it's all a journey. It's all a progression. It's just even when you get there, you're going to have some other goal usually that you want to achieve. So starting off from a place of like a deficit, like, oh, I need to race there and get here. Mm-hmm. That I'd found that doesn't help. It just puts undue pressure on my clients. Like if they have that mindset starting off, if they screw up, if they have like an off day or off couple of days, the weight that they put on themselves and the anxiety is like, holy shit. They just feel like crap because they feel like they've let themselves down. They let me down. They feel like they're never going to get where they want to be. And that same cycle that they usually have gone through a couple of times before finding me is occurring again. They just start to get so down on themselves. Mm-hmm. So the first thing I like to do is just say, okay, let's shoot for, I try to, and this is goes to creating habits too. I try to get them some early wins up front. I'm like, okay, let's say you want to lose 50 pounds. Don't think about the 50 pounds. Let's, you know, 50 pounds is just a number. So, and to get there, you have to lose like 1 pound a week, 2 pounds a week, whatever. So let's just focus on losing the first 5 pounds. Don't put a time limit on it, but let's just stick to the parameters I give you and let's see what happens. And when they take that stress of trying to get it done in a certain amount of time, they tend to enjoy the process a lot more. Their adherence jumps up and they usually surpass the goal that they originally set for themselves, probably because they're not thinking about it as much because it seems doable. Like I set them up for success right out of the gate versus having their like quote unquote reward be at the end of 16 weeks when they're like, oh, I finally lost, you know, X amount of weight. So I think when it comes to habits and just realistic goal setting, it's just getting those early wins right up front or just lowering the bar so low that you can't fail. Like if someone's been out of the gym for like months and they've been beating themselves up about it, I'm like, all right, instead of giving you this 4-day program, let's start with 2. And once you do 2, we can bump it up from there. But I'm not trying to be like, all right, we're taking going from 0 to 60. I don't want to do that because usually that just doesn't work out well. And once they get those 2, even if they want to do more, we can work up to it. Like the next week, I'm like, all right, you've done 2 workouts a week for the last 3 weeks. After you've done 0 workouts for the last few months, that's awesome. Let's go to the next. It's like a video game. You don't get to the next level until you complete the first one. So there's no point of jumping all these steps without first going through what you need to go through to get ready, you know? Mm-hmm. So, and I work really well with people, that are a bit nerdy like me, and I can talk with them in that way because they're like, oh, that makes sense. Why didn't I think about it before like that, huh? And once they start to make those connections, they realize, like, there's no rush. Unless you're competing in, like, some kind of physique show or you're trying to get ready for a certain date, don't just, like, you're going to, like, if you're, like, in your 20s or 30s or 40s, either way, you're going to be alive a long time. There's no need to – 16 weeks is just a drop in the bucket. So – I love just approaching it from that easy standpoint right up front.
Damn, that's a great way to look at it.
Thank you, sir.
Well, I've talked about it a lot on the show. I am the worst client in the world because and it's always like you like I've had these clients and I'm sure you have like the ones that are following your stuff and they're kind of immersed in this. They're reading the latest articles out there and things like that. And they almost know a little bit too much for their own good and knowing what it takes to get to where they want to go or knowing, you know, all these different, you know, Roger, have you seen this program? Like, why aren't we doing this instead and all that crap? So yeah. I was just kind of curious, how do you deal with failures when someone does end up coming to you and like emailing you and like, yeah, you know, I just wasn't on the program this week. I was eating a bunch of garbage. Like, how do you, you know, I know you're talking about kind of saying like chill out, relax, but how much leeway can you give them before you're like, okay, this is now we actually have to, you know, get on the horse. We have to make sure we're doing what we're supposed to be doing.
Yep. I like to approach it with just like, as cheesy as it sounds, just like a lot of compassion. Cause I'm like this, it's a simple, like what, getting people to lose weight or change their body is a simple process at a certain level, but the difficulty is in the daily application of it. So I like to get people to just – I sit at like – because I had an email a couple weeks ago from someone that wasn't even really my client at all. Like I'd never heard from the guy at all, and he was working with someone else, and he just felt bad. Like he ended up binge eating, and he just felt like for a couple of days in a row, he just felt like crap, like he ruined all his progress. And like I've been in that position before, and I know the kind of mental anxiety that can just drop on you. So I was like, I felt for this guy. So I replied back, and I'm like, it's like, first of all, like you're awesome. It doesn't matter. First step is you didn't blow anything. It's just something that happened. You're good. Got to get that into his head first. And it's like, in the grand scheme of things, 3 days out of what, 365? That's nothing. You have to feed them that perspective of like just show them examples of how what they have in their head, like how bad they think they messed up, is not the reality of the situation, and in a way that they can digest it. So some people need more of like a tough love approach. Some people need more compassion, just more hand holding. But either way, the end goal is the same. It's just to get them to realize like, it's not the end of the world. And this, like, it's like if you fall in public, it's like what the Family Guy thing when he falls, he's like, ah, he's like on the ground for like 10 minutes just doing that. And it's sort of like when you trip or like if you're going up the steps and you trip, you do more like harm, quote unquote, by staying down there and just like, oh, crap, I fell. I'm on the ground. Or than you would otherwise just getting up and just keep walking. So the longer you stay in that mental funk, the less you're able to apply yourself going forward. So my first job is just to pull them out of that any way I can. And that's usually just putting what they are struggling with into perspective. So it's like, it's not that bad. You got it. I've worked with a lot of people. I've seen this before. I've done worse. I have done way worse. And in the end, it won't matter at all. Just like all caps, underline, hyphen, whatever emojis, the poop emoji, smiley face, all that after. It's like, it won't matter. Get that in your head first, and then that brings anxiety levels down to where we can just attack the root of the issue. But you can't attack the root of the issue if there's all this anxiety and emotions around it first. So I like to disarm that first, and then we can talk more about it. But if it ends up being more of a habitual thing, you know, then that's when, as a coach, you know, change things up. I'm like, okay, this approach obviously isn't working for this person. What way can I remove more barriers? How can I remove more barriers that are in the way for them? So if they're trying to eat four meals a day and that's a struggle, I'm like, okay, I don't care. Eat two. Would that be better? Okay, let's try that. And if that works, good. Or if they're having an adherence problem at the gym, I'm like, is it too many exercises? Okay, let's go down from six exercises to four. Four, too much? Okay, let's go to three. And if the volume's too high, we'll cut it back. So it's really all about kind of meeting them where they're at, scaling back so they can get back in that loop of feeling good again, feeling successful, feeling capable, and then ramping up from there. It would be similar to like if you got in a car crash or a car wreck and you're not feeling that confident right after it happens. So you kind of take things slow from that point on to get your confidence back up. And that's completely okay because, again, there's not any rush. You don't need to just hop back on and pick up where you left off. You know, it's okay to step back and kind of lick your wounds and rebuild that confidence again. There's no need to try and crush it immediately after.
So it's like Iron Man.
Yes, exactly. Right. Like I love Iron Man. Jeez. Oh,
remember when they digitized his voice and Iron Man?
Yeah, that was Iron Man 1 was the, I think that was that's the one that's I would say that's the best movie Marvel put out so far.
Have you seen Guardians of the Galaxy yet?
Yes, I have. Loved it. But man, Iron Man, just like it was hilarious. It was way better than I expected because I didn't know what to expect. But like something about Iron Man, that story, the way they did it, and it was origin story, so they handled it so well. I was like, man, this is. And then when he suited up for the first time, I was like, oh, it's like I watch that scene on YouTube sometimes. I'm like, this is the shit. And they got the music playing in the background. Then his face closes, and I'm like, I'm looking around. I'm like, man, is anybody watching me watch this? I don't care if they are, because this is awesome. Whatever. But yeah, it's just like Iron Man.
Hey, man, it got me to like Gwyneth Paltrow on something. So that's
and that says something.
That says something. While we're on the subject, when it comes to the greatest movies of all time, you have seen Pacific Rim, right?
Yes, people hate on Pacific Rim.
I know. It's like, one of the best movies of all time.
I'm like, what do you want? There's robots fighting and there's Idris Elba.
Today!
Dude.
We cancel the apocalypse. So good.
I'm like, yes.
Sorry, dude, British people out there.
They jump into the wall, I'm like, stop hating it. Like, what are you trying to?
If you need a song to get pumped up for a lift, it is the like when they are dropping. It's the track when they are dropping the robots into the water. It's like, dun 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 dun
yeah.
dun dun dun. Oh, it's so good, and it just like has a great build. But anyways, I need to ask you. We mentioned a little bit before about. You know, your cinnamon bun thing, or at least we did a couple of days ago in the other episode. Like what, you know, that's kind of your thing, is that you are a big fan of the Cinnabon, and I think you even own stock, right?
Man, I own mental stock. I'm a Cinnabassador on Twitter. I honestly, like, I would love to work with them in some way. I'm like, look.
How would you work with them as, you know, a fitness professional?
And here's the thing. I already know in advance. I would get tons of hate. I'm like, look, I don't care. This is like – it's a cinnamon roll. It's one of the
Moderation,
most delicious
right? –
Yeah, it's really is, but it's like – Just
have
come
one
on.
A day.
I'm like, just live. Just one a day. You will die. Oh, my God.
Better than a pack of cigarettes. Rationalize it.
Yeah. But it's like – it's like it really is. It's like you're gonna die one day, people. There's no point of trying to get to the end of your life and say I avoided gluten and processed sugar and I ate no red meat since 1995. It's like you can that can be your if that's what you want to do. I'm not knocking it. I just know it's not for me.
It's finding what worked for you, right?
Yeah.
And
so.
You're in good shape. I mean, you're not the guy that gets the Cinnabon at his lunch break every single day.
No. And it's like you can – yeah, not at all.
It's a post-workout treat. It's like, man, well, post-workout, you know, I need the carbs.
anything is – Like, that's, I remember when I first started out and I was reading all about the anabolic window.
Exactly.
And
it was
just, dude, I'm like, post-workout, anything you eat turns to magic and muscle immediately. That was my justification. I'm like, oh, I can eat this. I can eat 2 Cinnabons because I just worked out and it's magic and it'll go in my body. And my body knows I worked out.
I got to make sure I, you know, have my muscle glycogen back up to full storage before my next lift. Replenishing all that muscle glycogen. So it's all about
exactly. And that, and you know, going back to mindset, I think this speaks a lot to the person you were talking about, like the avatar, that person that has all this information and is just overwhelmed by it. It's like they have so much information that the process becomes mechanical and not fun. Because I remember I was thinking that, like, I'm working out. I'm like, all right, it's 3:00. I'll finish at 3:15. And I have approximately 1 hour to get all my food in for this anabolic window before it slams shut. And everything I do after that will be ineffective. And now I'm just like, oh, I worked out. Okay, sweet. I'll eat when I can. If I can't eat, I'm not going to stress. It just becomes a lot more enjoyable when you're not letting all this information in your head get in the way of what you're actually trying to achieve.
This is awesome. All right. So, totally. Like, this is the fresh air that people need to hear out there in terms of, like, mindset and stuff like that, because there's totally, like, I was at a couple weeks ago, I was at the Perform Better summit out in Long Beach, and there's some older, like the older generations out there, you know, talking about how, you know, they would do things, and like you hear it in talks and you hear it in the Q&A and you hear it in passing by and like when people talk to each other and stuff like that. And I'm like, man, you guys are still living in 1980 because you can't, you know, address these issues with clients and athletes like that today.
Yeah.
Like, you must, you know, maybe you're still getting results like based on your reputation or whatever, but like, I'm doing this. Like, I'm with athletes every day of the week, and I'm seeing like what's working and what's not working. And I've talked to hundreds of people through the podcast and talked to people, whether it's at, I mean, you do it too. You see people at seminars or whatever, and you get to talking about like what works for them. I'm always asking people, what works for you? Like, what have you found to be that thing that made it click with you? Like, for me, it was initially, like, when I was 15 or 16, I remember specifically it was seeing stretch marks on myself because I was getting so, like, overweight and so quickly that I was starting to see stretch marks on my arms and stuff. And that was like, holy shit. This has to stop right now because now I'm starting to, these are permanent scars on your body.
Yeah.
These aren't things that go away. So, and even like later on, like to make that next step, it was working with Lee Peel and like having someone that like I had so much respect for. And I knew if anyone was going to have the answers for me at that time, it was going to be her. She's had such great results with people in the past and like from reading her stuff. And that helped me get, you know, one more step closer. So I think that is just something people need to think about when it comes to reading people's stuff, finding what voice out there is going to connect with you, because, you know, it might be Roger. It might be you read his stuff and, you know, man, this guy gets it. Like, I'm just like Roger. I'm into the same stuff as him. I've had the same kind of history as him. Like, this is the guy who's, you know, obviously going to have a better, you know, mindset for what I need to do. And, or it could be someone like, you know, Molly or whoever. So,
yeah, man, it's like a video game. It's like, you know, you got a fighting game, you got all these characters.
You need the right character.
Exactly. So you're like, sometimes at some point in your life, it might be this person.
It's always Sakura. Sakura.
No. Yeah, for you.
Sorry if we geek out here a little bit to talk about Street Fighter Alpha 2 and Marvel vs. Street Fighter, all that stuff.
Man. And I had that moment too, like going back to what we were talking about in the first half of the podcast, if you weren't listening. Like, my diet was like garbage for years because I could get away with it and I thought being lean was healthy even if you're eating crap. So I was eating fast food like every day, sometimes multiple times a day. Sometimes it got so bad where I'd go at like lunchtime and I'd go back at 3:00 and the same chick would be in the drive-thru and she'd remember my face. And I ordered the exact same thing and she gave me this look and I wanted to be like, don't look at me like that. I know I was here several hours ago and I'm eating again. I'm not even going to pretend this food's for someone else. I'm just going to eat it. And I'd be like, it was just constantly, I knew where all the, like, the McDonald's and the Wendy's were. I'd be throwing the bags in the back of my car. And at the end of the week, I look back to for the first time. It's like, am I homeless? Am I just eating? Why do I have this pile of fast food bags back here? Mm-hmm. And that just went on for years, honestly. And that was really what the PN program did for me. It allowed me to have a structure to have some success in breaking that long enough to get away from it. Because mm-hmm. before I tried to do it, but I'd get like 2 days out from having any fast food. I'm like, oh, I got that itch. I need those cinnamon melts from McDonald's because, man, they're delicious. Or that McChicken's only $1. I love the taste of that. Let me just get one.
Spend the and extra $1.50. Get the the crispy chicken deluxe, man. I ate so many of those. And like, it was leading up to that point. Like, that's what – anytime I could convince my parents to stop at McDonald's on the way home from work for dinner – that's what I was getting, two of those with a supersized fry and a supersized Coke, dipping that, you know, S in the sweet and sour sauce. And I haven't eaten at McDonald's. Like, we were out in Japan, like, thinking, like, man, maybe we should get McDonald's out in Japan. It's, like, not supposed to be absolute poison. And even then, like, I still passed, even though they had, like, cool stuff, like the American retro burger and stuff like that.
Man, I remember because I grew up in Detroit, and in Detroit, I think rumor has it that that's where they test out all the new stuff that they're going to roll out into different markets. So there was a period in time, and no one seems to remember this but me, but I'm not crazy, so I know it's real. So if someone's listening to this and they can verify what I'm saying, please do. But there was this thing called the family size fry, and it was $1.99. Oh, yeah. Okay, good. Yeah. So you remember. Perfect. Because it was a bucket of French fries, like a literal bucket, and it was like three supersized fries inside of it for $1.99. And I got that and the 20-piece nugget, and I was just, oh. And they salted it so.
Slept for 3 days.
Exactly. I had a coma. And people that say McDonald's is gross, I can understand where you're coming from. But there are scientists that formulate this stuff to taste like crack once it's in your mouth. So I get it, man. It's hard to kick it once you're on that. I've been there, and I looked at my statement 1 month, and I spent like $400, $500. I'm like, oh, I went to the grocery store zero times. This is all from Arby's and McDonald's and Wendy's and Burger King. Oh, it was bad, but the further I get away from that, the more I can appreciate having gone through it, because now I can relate to my clients and go, you know, you can do this. Like, if you think you're at rock bottom, you can go so much further down. That's something I like to think about sometimes. It's just like, hey, you know, you could always fall further. So you're good. You can just start turning around right now. All it takes is one day to get on that path towards a better you.
It's so crazy that even in places like Japan, they high school kids or middle school kids will actually meet up at McDonald's and they'll buy like $30 just worth of French fries. And that's whatever it is, like 20 supersized French fries. And like one or two or three of them will try to eat all those French fries. And it's like kind of a fun thing to post on Twitter and stuff.
Yeah.
So somehow they're not dead.
Yeah, dude, man, humans are adapt. We can take a lot of damage. It's just only, it's like, it's only once you get older that it starts really adding up.
Well, think about like literally diet soda and how much that is kind of poison for your body, and how people can go through life drinking 10 diet Cokes a day and live till they're 85 or 90. It just shows you how amazing our body is at filtering this stuff.
Really. And it's not, you know, and I'm not endorsing that so much. I just want to make sure people aren't like, yeah, that's all I needed to make this happen. But it uses just a testament to how powerful the human body is and how you can live on any situation, but there's a difference between living and thriving. So like when I ate, I looked decent when I was eating all that stuff, but I felt like crap. I was sleepy because you can't eat a family sized bucket of fries and just be a champ. I'm falling asleep in the car after I eat it in the parking lot. I'm like, what did I just fall asleep at McDonald's? I've hit a new low. Mm-hmm. I have a new low. But and then you see you have to almost experience these lows to appreciate the highs once you get out of them and go, oh wow, okay, that was that. I was there. This is how I felt. I made some changes step by step, and here's where I am now. I can see the difference, and I can feel the difference. And now having both of those experiences makes you less likely to go back to that old you versus if you just you've never been there. So like, and I think I can relate to client, to like a lot of fitness professionals that were overweight starting off and they got lean, and people gravitate like more, let's say overweight clients may gravitate more towards them because of their story. And they see them as an example of what's possible because of what they went through and how they think they can relate to their story. And they use them as inspiration and as someone that can guide them out of it themselves, which I think is really cool. And I think that's why I like Iron Man a lot. It's just like origin stories are really important, and they're an important tool for coaches to use with their clients, because clients, you know, the prospective clients, they come to us with something in mind. They think they reach out to us because they think that we can help them. Mm-hmm. And I think we owe it. And I really like this about the newer like generation of fitness professionals, is that we're less guarded in terms of like where we came from. Like we don't, I'm not a athlete. I didn't play sport. I played rock, paper, scissors. That was my sport.
With Olivia Munn of...
Oh, that's still on YouTube.
What's that show on HBO? A Newsroom.
Oh, she's on... Okay, I thought...
She's a legitimate actress now. She's in like... She's a like really great actress. She's in some great stuff.
Man, I had no idea.
Saying The Newsroom is really great. It's kind of been hit and miss, but...
But yeah, it's like, you know, those... We have a... I think we have a responsibility to our clients to open up and share of ourselves so that they can see that it's possible to do what they want to do in most situations. And we can serve as an example of that. Like, I really love the stuff that like Molly's been putting out. Like, she's mm-hmm. shared so much about herself and her story. And like my friend, Marianne Kane Fast, shout out.
Yeah.
Shout out to them. Jonathan's like, what? Oh, so like, got to drop
that's four names in one name.
I know. But like, she's been so open about her issues and her struggles and how she's come out on the other side better for it. And people can really relate to that. Like, they don't want these perfect people that never mess up and just have no flaws. I'm like, I don't trust that. Like, if I see somebody putting out that image, I'm like, man, once it's like, this is the Wizard of Oz. I'm like, if I look behind this curtain, there's going to be some creepy, something's off. I don't trust this image you're portraying, you're putting out there.
Right, so I want to talk a little bit about programming with you, because I think that's one of the biggest things that people, you know, miss the boat on, is that, you know, they try to structure a program, but they really leave no room for like having fun in the gym. I think it's really important that you know, make sure you're still doing something. I mean, I enjoy lifting, but it's sometimes you just want to like, man, I'm going to knock out, like we did at that Thanksgiving day thing at Crest. It's like, yeah, we're going to do 20 minutes of biceps to finish this up. And I was just wondering, because I've seen your programs, like whether it be the zombie survival workout that you put together. But what, you know, in terms of program design, do you like to put some fun in, or how do you like to set that up for your clients?
Yeah, man, honestly, I love that. And that's been a really big change over the past, I'd say year and a half, is because before I was very rigid in my programming. Like, okay, you know, I made it completely technical. I'm like, all right, this is what you need to do and to get the goal you want. And to a degree, it's still true, but the mental aspect and enjoying what you do is a big part of it. And it's hard for me to separate between if the enjoyment that the client is having is because of the results they're going to get from the technical program I give them, or if it's a mix between that and the fun they're having while they're doing it, which is making them more likely to stick with it, and a mix of that technical. So I just like, one of my favorite things to do is kind of like when I first start working with someone, like get a sense of like, do you like circuits? What do you like? Bicep pumps. What makes you excited? Like, if I left you in a gym by yourself, what would you do if the only goal is to have fun? And some people are like, I would just do like bicep curls to the day I die. I'm like, all right, great. So I give them what they need. Like, if they want to build muscle, I'm like, all right. So we start off with the compound lifts just because, hey, you know, you're fresh at the beginning. Let's do that. Get it out the way. And then that's the dinner. And then you got the dessert, which is all like the accessory work and pump stuff, higher volume to really like facilitate that muscle growth. And then like at the last 10 minutes, I'm like, all right, so got 10 minutes. these are the last two exercises, whatever you want them to be, just superset them, get a good pump going and just enjoy it. Cause they got all the really important, like all the stuff I wanted them to do, they got out of the way early on in the program. And then the end is like, enjoy it. So a lot of my clients really like that. And it takes the pressure off because there's no pressure to feel like they chose the right exercise. It's like, if you wanted to do hip thrusts and tricep kickbacks, I don't care. Cause you did what you needed to do already. This is just extra. Or if you want to do bicep curls and pushups or whatever you choose. And that really, a lot of my clients like that. It just gives them a sense of like, yeah, I finished the session in a way that feels really awesome. And I'm going to show you. Let's see. What else, though? What else? And also, like some people like circuits. So one of my favorites is density circuits. And this is, you know, a philosophy I learned from Charles Staley. He had this big free – oh, man. I'm glad I worked in the library because I printed out so many things. I printed out his – I think it was Unnatural Athlete or something. It was like this free ebook. It was like 400 pages. I printed all of that out, and I like put them in a three-ring binder, and I was carrying around campus. But it was the concept of density training is that you set a certain block of time, and then you do a certain amount of exercise for a certain amount of reps in that time. So let's say you set 15 minutes on the clock, and you have four exercises. So let's say like chin-ups, dumbbell rows, push-ups, and – dumbbell curls. You're doing for five reps each, just to simplify it. So you go through that circuit and you try and get as many rounds of those five reps as you can before time runs out. So it's almost like a race, a fun race. And the thing about it is like, of course, at some point your performance is going to drop, but you're only measuring yourself from each session to each session so that you go into the initial session with no goal other than to make it to the end of that 15 minutes. If you only get three rounds in that 15 minutes because you're really out of shape, whatever. It doesn't matter. That's what you got that time. High five yourself. Next time you come back, try and get just like one more round through or one more rep or something that even if it's only just a little bit better and you've improved. And this is a concept that I really like from the guys at Mark Fisher Fitness. You know, definitely someone else you should have on here. They are, oh man, I love that gym. Every time I go to New York, I just get happy in my soul.
But I'm going to be interviewing him later in like a week or so. So he should be up after yours.
Okay, perfect. Yeah, I love those dudes up there. Great staff, and they're really doing great things. But they have this concept of just 1% better, and it's like everybody can do 1%. Like that's nothing. And it makes it so doable that it takes the pressure off of failure. Cause you like, as long as you give it, if you try, you're going to get 1% better. That's like just a little bit. It's like just the tip approach. It's like just 1%. That's, you don't need the whole thing. Just the tip.
Mm-hmm. That's perfect for Mark. So let's, How are you doing on time? You got like 5 minutes or you're
running? I'm good.
Okay.
Yeah, I'm good.
So let's kind of just finish up here. Actually, I'm trying to think. Maybe we should wrap. I mean, I think we pretty much covered everything.
Let's wrap it up strong, man. Bring it home.
Yeah. So, again, thank you for everyone out there that listens to the show. Before we do a full wrap up, I just want to remind you that if you enjoy the FitCast and you want to keep content like this coming to your iTunes feed, other podcasters say, to keep this thing free, because people keep saying, why aren't you putting the episodes behind a paywall? I don't mean to put it in like that voice, but it's like, because it's supposed to be free. You know, like if there are people like us when we were in college to get like information, like how valuable was it for like articles to be free online and to be able to, for me, it was like totally selfish to be able to interview people and like pick their brains for an hour and a half. But like for real, if you think this is content that's worth listening to, if you think it's worth paying for and you're in the position to do so, please go to thefitcast.com and click on that donation tab on the left-hand side. You can donate through PayPal with a PayPal account or just like any credit card. You don't even need a PayPal account to do it. They don't keep your information or anything like that. It's just to keep the show going and to make it as much of a regular occurring thing as possible. But along that, don't forget to check out Raj your stuff at rajlawfitness.com, and of course at Raj Law on Twitter and Fit Smart Podcast, correct?
Yep.
And you can get that on iTunes like every other podcast in the world. And while you're there, submit reviews for the FitCast and for FitSmart. If you like what we're doing and you want to hear more of it, that's another way to support the show and to keep us, you know, keep the good stuff on top and not have the insert commercial infomercial person towards the top of the – we want to keep the good information at the top. But, of course, thank you. Whether you just listen to the show or you can support the show, either way, thank you so much for supporting the show in whatever way you do. But Roger, thank you so much for coming on and coming back. I know I ran out of time the first time, but I thank you for, you know, scheduling a little bit more time before you headed back.
Yeah, thanks so much for having me, and really, like, thanks for keeping this show up. Like, it was instrumental in me getting to where, like, it was a key thing and getting me to where I'm at today. And it's like, when I look back on it is when I can really realize and appreciate it. And for people just getting into the industry, to this is a great, like, anytime is a great time to get into the industry, but now is a really great time because there's a lot of helpful people, there's a wealth of information that's out there for free. So if you like, and this is like, there is no other podcast out there like this. So when you started this, it was just something completely different than what was out there, and it continues to be so. Even though there's tons of different podcasts out there, this is really like, hey, you know, you start – it's what, 304 episodes? That's ridiculous. And, you know, not to
– No, thanks, man.
Yeah, man. Like, please keep doing what you're doing, and, like, as long as you're loving it, I'm sure that passion will come across to the people that are listening. It does for me, and I'm glad to finally be on here, man. 304 episodes after listening to – man, I listened to the first one. I remember –
I'm sorry.
So it's an honor, man. Dude, yeah, man, you were young.
Yeah, and you don't – yeah, there's – I mean, you can still access every single episode on thefitcast.com. I know every single one is not in the iTunes feed because there's like a specific size for the XML file on there, and it was destroying my bandwidth and costing a lot of money to do that. But just go to thefitcast.com, click on the episodes tab, and every single one is still on there. You can still download every single MP3 all the way back to 2006 and
holla.
Get going. Like we were saying, I can't believe it's been 8 years since I started doing this. That's – you know, a third of my life.
You're like the Dr. Dre of fitness podcasts.
Yeah, I'll put it that way. And I'll allow you to do it. And, you know, not to harp on it too much, but I would rather still keep it, like, supported by the audience, because I know you guys don't – I listen to lots of podcasts, and I hate when there's, like, a two-minute, like, ad in the middle. I'm like, I got to go open up my phone. I got to fast forward. I can't fast forward if I'm driving.
Just killed my vibe, right? It's like, God, you just – in the middle.
So, like, I would like to keep the show ad free. And, you know, unless there's a time when, like, the PT Advantage, those guys are great. If they ever wanted to come back, I would have them back on. But, you know, podcasting advertising is a weird thing. And I just don't want, you know, like I said, Joe Fitness eBook to be the sponsor this week. I'd rather have it be, you know, free because the audience wants it and they're willing to support it if they can. And I don't know however else to say it. I wish I could give people more shout outs if they make donations. People have in the past, and there's been some people that have been very generous. But again, it's been a very — considering we have like 20,000 listeners, it's been like a percent of a percent of a percent. But thank you. Either way, like I said, so we'll wrap it up here. I'm rambling, and don't forget to check all that stuff out. And we'll see you next time in a couple weeks. I'm not sure who's going to be on, but there will be more episodes coming soon.